And Jesus is saying to this guy who's just had this enormous failure just a few days earlier, yeah, you've been unstable. You've been foot and mouth. You've been impulsive. You've denied me. You've been a little stone, but you're gonna be a rock in Gibraltar because of my mercy. And the past is past, and we're gonna go on. And I'm gonna build my church on your failures.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called The Miracle of Mercy. In this series, Rick looks at how the mercy of God touches every aspect of our lives and the lives of those around us. In a few minutes, we're going to let you know how you can get the DVD study kit for this series. It's perfect for your personal Bible study time or your small group. So stay with us and find out how you can get yours. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called God's Mercy and My Failures.
You remember a couple weeks ago at Easter, we were talking about the fact that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went up to the tomb. Maybe they're taking flowers on Easter morning, and the angel meets them and says, he's not here, he's gone. He's like he promised, he'll see you guys in Galilee. Now go tell the disciples. And notice what the angel says on that Easter morning. Mark 16, 6 and 7. The angel said to the women, I know you were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he's not here. He's risen from the dead. Now, go tell his disciples and tell Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and he'll see you there just as he promised. Did you notice any redundancy in that verse? He says, go tell his disciples and tell Peter. Why did he add in Peter? Isn't Peter a disciple? Wouldn't he be included? Couldn't he just say, hey, go tell his disciples? But Jesus knew how discouraged Peter would be from his failure. Jesus knew how much he needed encouragement. So he puts out an additional thing. Go tell my disciples. Oh, and especially tell Peter. When you fail, God knows your name. And he gives you a personal word of encouragement. He says, go tell my disciples. Oh, and especially tell Peter. I know how bad he feels about this. I know he's taken it the hardest of all. He's taken the hit. He's feeling ashamed. He's feeling regretful. He's down in the dumps. Go tell my disciples and go tell Peter. I'm alive. I'm alive. I kept my promise. And he singles him out. Friends, that is love. And that leads us to the fourth thing that Jesus did. Number four, when we fail, he shows us mercy when we're down. He shows us his mercy when we're down. He doesn't beat us up. He doesn't pile on. He doesn't add to our guilt. He doesn't add scorn and shame and a scolding. He saves us. And when you have failed, he doesn't just come in and go, let me tell you how bad you've done. No, he shows mercy when we're down. And there's a beautiful example of this. It's tender. It's a very tender example in John chapter 21. Here's the story. This is a couple weeks after the resurrection. So it's about like now. We're 2 weeks after Easter. So right about now, 2 weeks after Easter, you know, I told you Jesus was around for 40 more days. It says 2 weeks later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. Seven of the disciples were there, and Simon Peter said, they hadn't seen Jesus yet. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Friends, that's a statement of depression. I'm going fishing. Okay? Peter's going, I haven't recovered from this trauma. It's only 2 weeks out since my biggest failure in life. All I need to do is go back and do what I used to do before. I started following Jesus 3.5 years ago. I was a professional fisherman. I'm gonna go back. All thing I know how to do is go fishing. I'm down. I'm discouraged. I'm not feeling good. I'm going fishing. Anybody wanna go with me? And the other guys go, sure, we'll go with you. So Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out of the boat, but even though they fished all night, they caught nothing. You ever felt like that? I've been looking for a job for how many months? I've fished all night, I've caught nothing. I've been looking to get married for so long, I've fished all night, I've caught nothing. I've been waiting for this ship to come in, I've fished all night, I've caught nothing. This is called a failure. These are professional fishermen. If anybody should catch fish, it's professional fishermen. We fished all night, we've caught nothing. This is a failure. They got another failure in their life. Now at dawn, the disciples saw a man standing on the shore, but they couldn't see that it was Jesus. And he called out, Jesus called out, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "Not a thing," they replied. At least they're honest about their failure. Then Jesus said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get plenty of fish." So they did what Jesus said to do, and they instantly caught so many fish, they couldn't even draw in the net because it was so full of fish. Now, you may have fished all night and caught nothing, but God can do more in 5 minutes in your life than you can do in 50 years of planning. They had fished all night and caught nothing. You've been planning this dream of yours for so long, and it just has gone nowhere. Well, it says, when they did what Jesus said to do, they caught more than they could possibly handle. God can do more in your life in a few seconds if you'll just obey him than you can do on your own schemes and plans.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
The Bible tells us that God's mercy heals broken hearts, reconciles relationships, and refreshes tired souls. Today, when you support this ministry financially, we'll send you the Miracle of Mercy 6-session DVD study kit by Rick Warren. Perfect for you or your small group, it's sure to be the cure for every insecurity, worry, and fear in your life. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours or click PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
So they caught all these fish, and it was just so full of fish. Then John, one of the disciples, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Well, duh. Okay. All of a sudden, we followed this guy's advice from shore. We don't really know. Maybe he saw something. We saw it. So we throw it over, and we catch all these fish. And John goes, It's the Lord. Now, I love what happens next. When Peter realized that, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. Now, get this. Peter is fishing butt naked. They've been fishing all night. He's out with the guys. He's not showing off or anything. He's not working on a tan, obviously, because they're fishing at night. He just doesn't want to get his clothes dirty, have to take it into the laundromat. So while they're out fishing, he doesn't want it to smell. He takes his robe off. He's laid it over in the side of the boat. They're all standing there. He's fishing naked. John goes, "It's the Lord." And it says, when Peter realized that, he put on his tunic, fruit strip for work, jumped in the water, and swam ashore, leaving the others in the boat to pull the loaded net to shore. For they were only out about 300 feet. Now, when they got to shore, they saw that Jesus was cooking fish and bread over a charcoal fire. He's got a barbecue going on here. Okay, now, Jesus can cook. I'd like to see that show on the Food Channel. Yeah. Chopped, Jesus won again. We liked his meal better, okay? So Jesus, he's got a little barbecue going on here at the side of the Lake of Galilee. He's cooking fish and bread over a charcoal fire. Now Jesus says, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught." Graciously not mentioning the fact that they would have never caught him without him, that they had caught nothing on their own. So Peter goes back aboard and dragged the net ashore, and it was filled with 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. Now, that's another miracle, because if you know anything about the Bible, you know that they were constantly mending their nets because they were always breaking. In fact, when Jesus met them 3.5 years earlier, they were out mending their nets. Now, Jesus says, now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. You deserve a break today. I've got these little fish McMuffins for you for breakfast. Fresh bread, fresh fish, fresh McMuffins, a little special sauce on the side here. Okay, come on, we're gonna have breakfast, Jesus said. Now they were sure it really was the Lord. Then Jesus served them. Circle that phrase. Then Jesus served them. He's being kind. He's being loving. He's been merciful. He's cooked them breakfast. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. Now, this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And there were many other times after this. And that's a beautiful, tender story of the mercy of God. Let me ask it. Let me put it in context. Let's talk about you. Let's say you just went through your worst day of your life as Jesus is arrested, tortured, and murdered. You've gone through the worst day of your life, and your best friend deserts you, doesn't show up, and more than that, denies you and pretends like they don't even know you. 2 weeks later, would you cook them a nice breakfast? No, you wouldn't. That's mercy. That's mercy. He's showing how much he loves them even after their betrayal and denial. He cooks them breakfast. You wouldn't cook somebody who just betrayed you nice. You'd probably spit in the food if you did. I'll get back at them. That's mercy. You see, God's mercy toward you is not dependent upon your performance. The Bible says it like this, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. In other words, it never stops. It never ends. The steadfast love, it's unchanging. It's never exhausted. God never gets tired of loving you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. God's never going to say, okay, I've had enough of your failures. That's enough. Forgiveness 9,000 times, not 9,001. Okay, that's just one too many. I've had enough. His mercies never come to an end. It says his mercies are new every morning. You got the same old sins, but he's got new mercy for you every single morning. And then it says, great is your faithfulness. God is faithful to you in his mercy, no matter what you do. Do you realize how faithful God's mercy is to you? Let me show you one of the most amazing verses in the entire Bible. Look up here on the screen. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are unfaithful, he, God, remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself. God cannot be unfaithful. And even when you're unfaithful, he will be faithful. You may give up on God. He's never going to give up on you. That's the mercy of God. You may be unfaithful to God. He's never going to be unfaithful to you. Now, the last point is the greatest miracle of mercy of it all, and it is this. He not only believes in us, prays for us, shows us mercy when we're down, doesn't get upset about it, not shocked. Number five, he uses our failures to build his church. God actually uses our failures to build his church. Jesus had told Peter, Peter, when you have turned back to me, strengthen and build up your brothers. He's talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, the church. Use your failure to strengthen and build up others. Here's the rest of that story there on the beach at Galilee. Verse 15, John 21. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, this is echoing back a statement where at the Last Supper, Peter said, I love you more than all of these. And I would never, never deny you. Everybody else may, but I would never do that. He said, Simon, do you love me more than these? "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," Peter replied. "Then feed my lambs," Jesus said. "My flock," that's the church, the flock of God, the church. "Then feed my lambs," Jesus said. Then Jesus repeated the question, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. "I want you to care about my family, the flock, the body of Christ, the church. Take care of my sheep." Then Jesus asked the same question one more time. "Peter, do you love me?" Now, Peter was grieved that Jesus asked the question a third time. So he said, and I could hear the exasperation in his voice, Lord, you know I love you. You know everything. And you know that I love you." And Jesus replied, "Then feed my sheep." The way you show your love for God is by helping other people in the family of God. Why did Jesus ask this question three times, "Do you love me?" He was giving Peter the opportunity to make up for three denials. "I will never deny you, I will never deny you, I will never deny you." And he did, 1, 2, 3 times. And so he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Then feed my sheep." Now let's go back to the beginning. Both Judas and Peter, friends of Jesus, both of them committed the same sin. They both denied Christ. The exact same sin, just different experiences. They turned their back on him in a time of need. Judas became a traitor. Peter became a teacher. "Feed my sheep." Judas became a traitor. Peter became a teacher. What are you going to become from your failure? What are you going to allow the failures in your life to make you, traitor or a teacher? It's your choice. The fact is, God is building his church on people who failed. God has only used failed people because there aren't any non-failures in life. And in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said this, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." Now, some of you know this is actually a play on word in the original Greek manuscripts, because the word Peter is the word Petros, and the word rock is the word Petra. They're very different. He said, "You are Peter, Petros, but you're gonna be Petra, the rock, on which I'm, with my mercy, gonna build on the faith, your faith, and on your failures." Petros, Peter, literally means a stone. It means a small rock. It means a pebble. So Peter really was a pebble. He was a stone. That's his name, stone. A rock and a pebble. Petra means a giant rock, a boulder. It can mean a cliff of rock. It can be a mountain of granite. It's a rock of Gibraltar rock. That's a Petra. And Jesus is saying to this guy who's just had this enormous failure just a few days earlier, "Yeah, you've been unstable. You've been foot and mouth. You've been impulsive. You've denied me. You've been a little stone, but you're gonna be a rock of Gibraltar because of my mercy. And the past is past, and we're gonna go on. And I'm gonna build my church on your failures." God wants to build his church on your failures. He wants to use you the same way he used Peter. So let me end with two questions. Number one, what failure have you had that God wants to use in this church? What failure have you had that God wants to use to build his church? If you've had a failed business, you should be helping businessmen, because you know what it's like to have a failed business. If you've had a bankruptcy, you should be helping people who are going through bankruptcy. If you've had a failed marriage, you should be helping people save their marriages. If you've had an abortion, you should be helping women who are struggling with that decision right now. If you've had a failure in any other area of your life, if you've had an addiction, you should be helping people who have that addiction. God wants to use your failures to build his church. Don't waste your failures. Last week, we talked about not wasting your pain. And I said, you're going to have pain. Don't waste it. If you've been abused, use it to help people who've been abused. If you've been raped or molested, use it to help people who've been raped or molested. If you've been abandoned or betrayed, help people who've been abandoned or betrayed, and on and on and on. God wants to take your greatest failure and turn it into your greatest success. God wants to take your greatest hurt and turn it into your greatest ministry. Chuck Colson went to prison and then founded Prison Fellowship, an enormous ministry that helps prisoners all around the world. What failure does God want to use in your life? Second question, are you going to respond to your failure like Judas or like Peter? Now, that's your choice. Judas had a breakdown. Peter had a breakthrough. Judas gave up. Peter looked up. Judas rejected the mercy of God. Peter accepted the mercy of God. Judas lived in condemnation. Peter lived in celebration of the mercy of God. Judas ended up taking his life in despair. Peter ended up living his life on purpose. It's all your choice. And just 50 days after Peter's biggest failure, God chose him, Peter, that guy, the screw up, the mess up, the guy who denied Jesus in his deepest hour of pain. He chose Peter to be the guy to preach on the day of Pentecost, on the first day of the Christian church, and 3,000 people were saved and baptized. That is the mercy of God. It wasn't like a year after the failure. It's 50 days after he screwed up. He's standing in front of everybody preaching on Pentecost at the birth of the Christian church. That is the mercy of God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. If you'd like to have these powerful Miracle of Mercy lessons on video, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook, then be sure to request the Miracle of Mercy study kit when you contact us. This is a great way to go deeper in your study of God's Word. It's perfect for both personal and small group study time. And it's yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks so much for listening today. I want you to know what a personal blessing it is to me to be able to teach you each day. But I also want you to know, as a pastor, that I am concerned that you find a local church home. Listening to this broadcast is not enough to grow. You need to be in a local church family where you can do the 58 one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, share with one another, greet with one another, and on and on and on. That's the mutual ministry of the body to itself. You can't do that just by listening. You've got to be a part of a family. Thanks for listening, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.